King's Kids, if you are in second grade on down, you are dismissed to King's Kids. King's Kids, you are free to roam. Once I get out that door, I don't know what happens, so I'm just going to anticipate. Before our scripture reading this morning, I want to pray and reflect just for a second on that line we just sang. Why should I gain from his reward? I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Why should I gain anything from Jesus? He doesn't owe me anything. Why am I profiting from him? It's quite simple, actually. It's because he lets you. Anything you have in your life that is good, that is kind, that is nice, that is loving, anything you have in your life that is good is only because God lets you have it. But I worked for it. No. God allowed you to work for it. But I earned it. No. God let you earn it. You do not do anything purely independently in this life except sin. Everything else is by the grace of God. Every blessing. Why should I gain from his reward? From his ransom? He paid for us. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning and thank you for Jesus. We do not know what this year holds, but we know you hold us. Even if we suffer, even if we hurt, even if we die, we trust you. This is not our year to do with as we please, so God, we give you permission to do as you will. May your will be done. May your kingdom reign and rule in our hearts, even if we don't see it with our eyes. May we serve an all-powerful, almighty, all-present God who is going to be king forever. Put us in our place this year. Remind us who we are. Remind us that you are the king. Your kingdom is forever. And with that, we need you to encourage us that there's more to this life than this life. When we are down and depressed, when we are weeping, and when we feel great loss, remind us that in Jesus, we have all the blessings of God. Remind us this year, God, of yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on up, sir. Grab your Bibles. Open to Hebrews chapter 7. This morning's scripture is Hebrews 7 verses 20 through 28. Hebrews 7, 20 through 28. This is Isaac.
Good to see you. You ready?
Yeah.
What version you got here?
NLT.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, this can be a little different than mine.
It is. It's the Filament Bible. It's got a little extra notes in it, app and everything. So.
Okay. Wow, he's like multi-connected. So follow along best you can. I'll clean it up when he's done.
This new system was established with a solemn oath. Aaron's descendants became priests with such an oath. But there was an oath regarding Jesus. For God said to him, "The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees his better covenant with God. There, with many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. He is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as a sacrifice for people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made the perfect high priest forever.
Amen. That was better than I thought it would be. That was good. For just a second, look backwards to verse 19 from last week. The law made nothing perfect, but on the other hand, a better hope is introduced. This is our conclusion last week, that Jesus is our better hope, through whom, through which we draw near to God. We draw near to God through Jesus. That is last week's conclusion. That is this week's introduction, because the title is, oh, he's better. Well, what makes Jesus better? That's what today's paragraph is about. What is it specifically that makes Jesus better than the previous priests or the previous covenant or the old way of doing things? What makes Jesus better? Verse 20, an oath. That's what makes Jesus better. He was not made a high priest without an oath. That's verse 20. But those who formerly became priests, they were made such without an oath. But Jesus was made a priest with an oath. Do you see the contrast there? In the old system, to be a Levitical priest or the high priest, God set up a system where you were born into it. If your dad was a priest, you would be a priest, or at least have the option of being a priest. And you didn't have to put your hand on an Old Testament and swear an oath. It was just kind of a natural thing. Not so with Jesus. When God made his son a high priest, God swore an oath, saying, "You are a priest forever." Jesus was appointed. He is the Son of God, but that's not why he is a priest. He is a priest because of his unwavering resolution and dedication to be all that God expects of him. In other words, by his own personal holiness. Not the holiness he gets from being God's son, but in the words of Hebrews, his obedience, which he puts on display over and over and over again. Verse 22, this makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. In other words, Jesus guarantees us a better covenant than the old covenant, because this is the new covenant. And in this new covenant, this new high priest, he represents God to us, but he also represents us to God. Jesus is both. He gives us a perfect reflection of who God is without it being a shadow. Even people who've been around Jesus, "Lord, can you just show us the Father? Ah, oh, have I not been with you so long? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That's what Jesus, that's how he responds to that. He's not a shadow. He's a direct representation of God to us. But because of Christmas, incarnation, having a human mother, with the Holy Spirit as his father, a supernatural pregnancy and birth, he is also human, and he can represent us to God. He can be our representative. And not just by pretense, not just because he cares, but because he is one of us, yet without sin. And in Jesus, as the forever high priest, forever high priest. There's no turnover. You ever had that before? Turnover at work, turnover at school, new teachers, new systems, new ways of doing things. Even with the law, when a new priest would take over, he would still have a new way of saying things, a new way of leading. And there was some freedom for him to tweak the way they did some things. He might favor this psalm. He might favor this program or this agenda. So, but with Jesus as forever our high priest, get this, because this I like this. There is a routine that never changes. I am a creature of habit. And with Jesus, we have a faithful priest. We don't have to relearn things. We don't have to get used to things being different. There are no bad days with Jesus. Everything in creation is changing except Jesus. Because he's perfect. If you're perfect, you never need to change. That's the point. And that is good for my soul. My soul is all over the map. I still have good days and bad days. I still have weak faith and then strong faith. I still am generous and then greedy. I am patient, but then I am off the handle. I am undependable. And the most important thing I need is for Jesus to be dependable. And that's what the Hebrews is teaching us. He's perfect. You can trust him. You can bank on him. You can go to him over and over and over again. Everything else in this world is changing. But not Jesus. He is forever the same. God's oath to us through Jesus gives us God's very best. God has given us his very best. He's not holding back. We are the weak link in this relationship. We are the ones that hold things back. We are the ones that don't quite go all in. We are the ones who sin. Jesus is perfect. God has set this up so that you, who is prone to change, even through all of your change, has something you can at least look up to. And aim for and strive for, and in the words of Paul, press into, and I press on to the high calling. You know why it's a high calling? Because I am a low ball. That's why. I need that. I need something to aim at. I just not living life willy-nilly. You need something targeting. You need to be focused. Christianity is hard because you are messed up. Your brain is all over the place. Your emotions are all over the place. One season of your life, you like pizza. The next season of your life, you don't. I like avocados. Now I don't. If you've not raised kids, you've not really, never mind, because you were a kid. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We go through ups and downs. Even our tastes change. What we think is cool one generation, we don't think is cool, but then the next generation, they think it's cool again. Everything comes back around. Highs and lows, highs and lows. Not so with Jesus. Friends move away. Pets die. You have to change schools and teachers eventually. No jobs, no managers, no co-workers are forever. Families age, and there are many, many funerals. Houses crumble. Dishwashers die. Engines wear out. Backs seize. Joints deteriorate. Money is spent. Babies grow up. Politicians come and go. Nations come and go. Seasons come and go. Planets, stars, universes come and go. Everything changes. But not Jesus. You see how he's singularly perfect in all of creation? That means you can be singularly focused on something. That's my favorite part of Christianity. the simplicity of Jesus in a world of chaos and breaking down and wearing out and change. We have a Savior who is dependable. That comforts me. That resonates with me, with my soul. No matter how much I change, or my family changes, or this church changes, or this country changes, drop in the bucket. I'm serving Jesus. No matter what, no matter who, no matter where, nor matter when. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Turn to Isaiah chapter 51 for just a second, because this is not new. This is not new. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, has many, many messianic prophecies. Talks about who the coming Messiah is going to be, how he's going to be afflicted and bear our iniquities, how he's going to be a wonderful counselor, how this baby, this child who is born, is going to be the Son of God. And in the middle of all that, Isaiah 51:6. For you, January 2021, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. Hey, those heavens are going to vanish like smoke. This earth is going to wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die. There is your word of the year. You're going to die. You're going to wear out and change just like everything else. All in the heavens, all in the earth, everything is wearing out and changing. But God says, my salvation will be forever. How is that possible? Because Jesus is forever. That's why. Your salvation is in Christ. So God knows that. He's made it that way. Because the only way anything about you can be good and forever is if Jesus is included. My salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Never be dismayed or frazzled or stretched, worn out. God's righteousness will never be dismayed. I like that. Because that is not me. It's who I want to be. I want that. I have a Savior to look up to. Everything is changing except Jesus. You can depend on Jesus remaining perfect. And if I could only give you one reason to trust Jesus, think of this in evangelism, in soul winning, and in one-on-one conversations. If I could only give you one reason to trust Him, to commit your life to Him, to surrender to Him, to follow Him, if I could only give you one reason, it would be this. He's perfect. Because you won't find that anywhere else. You can find a lot of things that are holy. He's holier. A lot of things that are good. He's better. A lot of things that are nice. He's nicer. Kind. He's kinder. Forgiving. He'll forgive more. Sacrificial. He'll sacrifice all. Helpful. Always helpful. Man, you see how Jesus is always the next, always better, always holier? It's because he's perfect, just like his dad. It runs in the family. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's a family we need to be in. And you can. It requires adoption. God wants to adopt you. Has anybody told you that before? God wants to adopt you. He wants to bring you in because you're born dead in trespasses and sins. You're born outside the will and purposes of God. He wants you. He wants you bad. He wants you so much. He will die on the cross for your sins and make it possible for you to say, I want in. But you have to ask. He's there for you. He is your perfect Savior. Next line, write this down. The perfection of Jesus, it makes heaven possible, salvation eternal, and eternity peaceful. I don't have to know all things. I only have to know Jesus. I don't have to know all things. I don't have to get all things right. Jesus is the one who makes heaven possible. Heaven is a perfect place with a perfect God living on eternally in perfection, and it is peaceful because it's the presence of God where Jesus is forever. That's heaven. That's Jesus. And so we have to emphasize this perfection in order to elevate Jesus in your mind's eye. This is all a huge undertaking for you to see Jesus as bigger than you've seen him before. For you to see Jesus as more important than you've ever seen him before. And that takes growth, because everybody here, I'm asking you to take a step up from where you were this morning, from where you were yesterday. Wherever you are in your relationship with God, you can go another step closer. You can draw into his presence at a deeper, more profound level. That is maturity. Not that you arrive, because when you arrive, here's what it sounds like. Beep. You're dead. I want to hear ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. I want to hear a regular rhythm to your spiritual life through which you are drawing near to God, drawing near to God, learning more about his perfections. You'll never meet anyone better than Jesus. And I hadn't thought about it a lot, that idea of peaceful. All of my eternal joy hinges upon Jesus. When things are perfect, they're peaceful. We don't really experience that. We get little glimpses of it here and there when everything in the house is running smoothly. I don't know how long that's been for you, but it's possible. When everything's clean, when everything's been replaced, when everything's put where it needs to go, when you can genuinely sit down, take a breath, and say, nothing needs to be done right now. Put your life in order. If you're like giggling to yourself right now, I see some of you looking, some of you going, that's not. Work your butt off and make it so. It is a really, really special feeling in your own house to put your feet up and actually believe that. Now, it doesn't mean there aren't projects that can be worked on. It doesn't mean there aren't things you can be doing. But for the most part, that is just a little taste of heaven. Well, I've got too much stuff. Maybe you need to sell some. Maybe you've made it impossible for there to be joy in your life because you're just consuming everything. Maybe you should get rid of some stuff. Maybe you should simplify. Jesus makes life simple because it's him. Him. Read verse 23. The former priests, the old way of doing things, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But Jesus holds his priesthood permanently. Because he continues forever, he never dies. Consequently, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Uttermost. I like that word. It means completely or at all times. Jesus is able to save completely at all times those who draw near to God through him. Completely in all times. Another way to say that is, Jesus is a priest forever who saves me forever. Priest forever. Always in that office. So he always has that availability or ability to save me forever. That's the beauty of perfection. Perfection doesn't just affect now. It affects everything. If you're perfect, you're always perfect. Let's work that backwards. How long has he been perfect? Forever. That's part of being perfect. It's not just something, like we see it as something like you get this, this, and this done, and then you arrive. For Jesus, there's no arrival. He is perfect. I am that I am. That's going to get him killed, claiming equality with God. People don't get Jesus because his level of perfection is beyond human imagination and understanding. Now, the next blank I have in your notes is the original word ordering from the Greek New Testament. Because in most all the English versions I looked in, it says in verse 25, he's able to save, that's common, to the uttermost, that's common, and then this next little phrase, those who draw near to God through him. That's very comfortable in English, but that's not the word ordering. And I think the word ordering is significant here. Those, and the next word, which in English is two words, drawing near, that's your job. That's you. Drawing yourself near. Through him to God. Jesus, as the high priest, is able to save completely and at all times those drawing near through him to God. And the significance I want you to see there is something that is all throughout the New Testament. There is you, there is God, and there is a problem. Because you can never reach God. You are far from God. You have fallen short of the glory of God. You are a sinner. God is perfect. And the wording here is beautiful. Who's Jesus saving? Those who are drawing near to God. Wait, whoa, no. You don't see, it's not just draw near to God. No. It's more complicated than that. Go through Jesus. Basically, take one step. And now, as Jesus draws near to God, you're with him. You have to make the decision to draw near through him. And then once you're part of him, you're in. He begins a good work in you that he will be faithful to complete. Drawing near is your responsibility. You, Jesus, God. Jesus does the saving. We do our part then to draw near to him, and then he brings us into the presence of God. And all of your spiritual life is secured and powered by Jesus. He saves you, you draw near, he finishes your salvation. This comes up a lot. I was saved, I'm being saved, I will be saved. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. If you want to turn there for just a second, one more outside verse for explanation. 1 Corinthians 15, because these two verses, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, captures this mindset of salvation, not just being this singular moment in time, but your salvation is broad. There's a past, there's a present, and there is a future. And the perfection of Jesus secures all of that for you. I was saved. God saved me. I am being saved. I'm being changed. I am going to be drawn perfectly to God. I am going to be in His presence for all eternity. So 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, there's the past tense of salvation, in which you stand, that's presently, right now I'm standing in Christ, and by which you are being saved, that's also present. And by the way, that present, that drawing near, this verse kind of expands that. It's not only your responsibility. You stand in it. Stand strong, stand in faith, stand with your eyes on Jesus. But it's also, you're also passive in that. You are being saved. There is an aspect to your salvation right now that has nothing to do with you and all to do with God saving you, changing you, indwelling you, perfecting you, convicting you. Past, received. Present, I stand. Present, I'm being saved. And then here's the future. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, you're saved if you continue into the future forever holding fast to the gospel, to the truth. You see how your salvation is your entire life? Past, present, future. The perfection of Jesus, He's got you surrounded. He's got you covered, since He always lives. Back to Hebrews 7:25. He's able to save completely at all times, past, present, future. Your past is forgiven. Your present, you are in process, being worked on. Your future is secure because of His perfection. And if you draw near to God through Jesus, He will always live to make intercession for you. Intercession. He's interceding, or He's praying for you. What is He praying for? Your salvation. He is not just out to give you relief from the pain in this world, or remove your feelings of inadequacy or your guilt or your shame. He's not just out to reward you in this life. Intercession is Jesus' perfect high priestly responsibility by which He calmly, coolly turns to His Father in heaven and He says, Father, keep saving them. Draw them to yourself. Bring them all the way in. Jesus is interceding for your salvation, not just your day-to-day life. Does He care about your day-to-day life? Yes. Are we supposed to pray for our day-to-day life? Do we sometimes pray for relief? Yes. And removal? Yes. And rewards? Yes. Do we get all those things in this life? No. What do we get in this life? The only thing you need, salvation. Therefore, you can, by God's grace, take a deep breath and take the next step of faith. Even if that just means going to school. Even if that just means saying, I'm sorry. With God's grace, you take a deep, mighty breath and you grit your teeth. And you go back to work. Because that's the responsibility He's placed right in front of you. And you go to the next doctor's appointment. And you take the next pill. And you go to the next funeral. And you have the next baby. And you just you go through life. Not worrying about, he doesn't need to relieve you. He doesn't need to remove all of your troubles. And he doesn't need to give you everything you ask for. Man, you pray amiss. But he will intercede for your salvation. Your eternal soul is in his hand, and he's got it. That's the beauty of his perfection. He intercedes for you perfectly, knowing what you actually need, not just what you think you need. Verse 26. It was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Jesus has no need, like those old high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. Since Jesus did this once for all when he offered up himself, the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests. But back to the word of oath. The word of oath, which came after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. You will never meet anyone better than Jesus. I want you to see a build up that is happening here. Go ahead and show that next slide. It goes back to the last couple of paragraphs. This build up of perfection. Listen to some of these words that have been used about Jesus, all getting us to this point, the end of chapter 7, where we are arriving. We are about to launch into a new argument in chapter 8 about how Jesus' sacrifice is better than all sacrifices. But before we get there, before his sacrifice can be explained as the best sacrifice ever, you need to understand how perfect he is. And this has been building. Verse 16. Indestructible life. Verse 21. Priest forever. Verse 22. The guarantor of a better covenant. Verse 24. He holds his priesthood permanently. Verse 25. Always lives. Verse 27, once for all. And we conclude at the end of verse 28, perfect forever. This is all summed up in the last line of verse 28. The word of oath, that's God's word. It's God speaking. God's word, God's oath, which came after the law, which is now, which is in Jesus. God's word appoints a son who has been made perfect forever, and I cannot, for the life of me, read that without thinking of Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, in ages past, has spoken to us through the prophets and through the law, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son. You realize from verse 1, to the end of chapter 7, he's been trying to say the same thing. Jesus is perfect. God used to speak this way, but now Jesus. Over and over again, we're trying to lift up Jesus as our Savior, as our Messiah, as our only hope, as our perfect hope, as the holiest thing you could ever dedicate your life to. Perfect forever. You will never meet anyone better than Jesus, because Jesus is, has always been, and will forever be the holiest of all. He's worth your life. He's worth it. Jesus is worth it. He's worth you giving up a Sunday morning for. Thank you for being here. He's worth the time and effort it will take you to get your finances in order through Financial Peace University. He's worth the effort. Because if you can be faithful with monetary things, he can trust you to be faithful with other things. It is worth it, the time that you give to God with your morning Bible reading and your prayer time. It's worth it. He sees, he knows, you grow. It's worth it. Even if the rest of your life doesn't seem to be falling into line, your spiritual life can fall into line. He's worth it. He's worth the time. He's worth it. He is worth it to bypass a raise. He's worth it. If you know that raise is going to cut into your attitude, if that raise is going to cut into your family time, if that promotion is going to uproot and upend your family in negative ways, and it can, that's a sacrifice that's worth making for Jesus and for your family. We need to think carefully through everything we do and say. It is more important for you to be a Christian than anything else. From that, you can be a responsible citizen. From that, you can be a praiseworthy mother or father. Through that, through your faith, through your Christianity, through your dedication to Jesus, he can begin to perfect you. As much as Jesus is perfect, it should be a little jarring when the Bible says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. What? Your righteousness needs to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. How is that possible? Jesus, stand with me. Let's pray. I have mentioned his name a whole lot this morning. I hope you understand that what we do, what we stand for, what we read is focused on Jesus as Savior and as Lord. And this morning, early in the year, I just want to offer you an opportunity to dedicate this year to Jesus. Last year was all over the map, so many unexpected things. You know what we can expect this year? The same thing. Crazy, unpredictable, we don't know where it's going to go. Like, you can expect the unexpected. I want to offer you a chance as we pray in just a minute. My prayer is going to be aimed at you dedicating your life to Jesus this year. I don't know what that means for you. It may mean giving up something you're just anxious about and worried about. It may mean a career decision. It may mean moving. It may mean leadership. It may mean kicking a habit or an addiction. It may mean confessing to somebody something you've been hiding for a while. But as we pray, I need you to focus on you. Not the person next to you, not your kids, not your grandkids, not your husband, not your wife, not your grandma, not your grandpa, you. You and God, bow your heads. Close your eyes. Are you at a place in your life where you can dedicate this next year to Jesus? He doesn't need you. He wants you. He's eagerly expecting you. It is you who needs him. And as imperfect as you are, as unclean as you are, you coming to him will not make him dirty. You coming to him will not make him unclean. He proved that by welcoming lepers and demon-possessed people, and women who were bleeding uncontrollably. He never got bloody. He never got leprosy. He was never possessed. Anything that touches Jesus and bows before him and comes to him, he purifies. He cleanses. Where in your life in this year do you need to come to him for a special touch? Because he wants to help. Surrender that this morning. Lord Jesus, help me surrender that. Even if I take it back in February, I want to give it to you again in March and April. I want to give it to you every day, no matter how many times I slip or fall. Lord, take this. And however many times I take it back, send your Spirit to convict me. I need help. I need help this year with my finances, with my kids, with my job, with my health. I need help. I need help with the way I think. I need help with the things I care about. I care about too many things. I love sinful things. Help me. I need help with my relationships. I need help to trust you, to follow you. I need help with decisions I have to make. And I'm going to need a whole lot of help with things that are going to surprise me. Check my heart this morning. God, we come to you as a church and we say, this is your year. Take it. Have your way with it and change us. How can you be perfect and we remain the same? That is impossible. If we are drawing near to you, you'll change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay standing.
A place where mercy reigns and never dies. Streams of place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. There my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe. Found here on holy surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Wear your love red, red, and my sin washed white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender.
Hear now the benediction from Psalm 104, verses 31 to 34. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountain and they smoke. And let this be true of you as you go this morning. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be pleasing to him. For I rejoice in the Lord. God bless you as you all go and rejoice in the Lord.